Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to part two. You know, Darryl Bradford Smith is my name. It is the 7th day of March, and year is 2006, and this is the French Connection you're listening to. Great to have you back. My guest today is going to be Eric Hufschmidt in about 10 seconds here. Want to let everybody know that that Eric and I are very grateful for all that you've done by way of donation. It's still a small amount of money, believe it or not, but it is helpful. And I do want to let you know that you can still continue to donate to us by going to PayPal or going to the P.O. Box at I Am The Witness Services you write the check to. And the P.O. Box you can get on our website by going to the donation section. And $1, $2, $5, all of that's wonderful for us. We're not a big operation, and we don't demand a lot from you, but we do have some plans with putting that money to good use here. It's not going into my pocket, and it's not making me rich. In fact, some of it is going to reimburse some of my phone bills and some of these huge equipment prices that I ended up paying for that, came out of my family budget. So, but we're trying to share the load a little bit is what we're doing, and it's gratitude to you. If you enjoy these broadcasts and the information, please help us out. Anyway, Eric Hufschmidt's coming right on with us. Eric, great to have you back for another installment of the show. You know, as always, you're a lightning rod for lots of controversy, and it's great to have you back.
Well, great to be here.
Well, you know, we've got about a 45-minute stint that we're going to do today, and one of the things we were just talking about, you and I, earlier was, the hypocrisy of our government. And one of the things that you brought up was the hemp issue, and I'm going to bring it right up because it's fresh in my mind. The fact that that the cotton industry and the wood industry actually destroyed the hemp industry, which was actually a business that was it was in good shape at the time they destroyed it, claiming that the hemp was related somehow to marijuana. And as you and I both know, the strain of hemp used for rope and paper and clothing and the rest of it has no THC content in it, or almost so low that it couldn't be actually synthesized into anything, a drug, anyway. Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's not really meant for smoking, but they find ways to do it. I mean, the greed in this country is so out of control. It's just so neurotic. Anything for money. It's like the sugar industry is the same way. They'll find some excuse not to take in sugar cane from some other country like Cuba. And then they'll block stevia, which nobody can even find any harmful effects with.
But if you're a friend of the government, they'll inflict aspartame on you, won't they?
Right. Yeah. And the hemp seeds, most people don't seem to realize this. Hemp seeds, you can actually eat them. It's like a nut. It's like any other seed. And they sell them only at health food stores. It's the only place you can find them. They're coming out of Canada right now because you're not allowed to grow them in America. So you can go to an American health food store, buy hemp seeds produced in Canada for eating purposes, but we can't produce them ourselves. And then you can buy hemp clothing and hemp rope, but it just can't be made or produced in this country. I mean, this is... people really need to look closely at this government and the people within this nation of ours, because they're just destroying it. You know what it reminds me of? I know it's not a pleasant issue, but it reminds me of these stories where you hear about the retarded girls being taken advantage of by some kids in the neighborhood. You know, they'll give her some money, and she's, oh, money, money, what do I do? And they'll talk her into having sex with them, or sometimes they'll convince her that they love her. This is what's going on with our government. We'll get the sugar industry telling the government, oh, block that sugar cane. Those people are communists. Or don't let that stevia get out on a marketplace. That could be a possible health problem. And don't allow that hemp seed out there or the hemp fiber. This country, the people really have to take a serious look at what's going on.
Well, Eric, you know, they back in the day when cars were just starting to come on the road, the oil industry got together with the car manufacturing industry in Detroit, paid off the politicians in Los Angeles to dig up their entire mass transit system and get rid of it, and forced everybody to buy cars. Now they're turning around and having to reinstall an entire mass transit system because of the greed of a few oil barons and a few car manufacturing thieves. And I mean, these kinds of things have happened across our country from the very beginning. These people have been able to buy our government forever.
Yeah, exactly. The trains and the electric trains, that was in the 1930s. The General Motors, Firestone, and Standard Oil got together and created that National City Lines. And, you know, they were planning on using buses from General Motors, tires from Firestone, and fuel from Standard Oil. I mean, it's just an unbelievable scam right in front of your face. They start buying up trains and destroying them so that they can sell their particular product. You know, there are very few people in this country. You'll see that with the kids. You made a remark about it once. When you ask them, what do you want to do when you grow up? You never, hardly ever hear an American say, I'd like to contribute something to society. I'd like to do a job where, you know, it has some value. You never hear that hardly.
No,
you'll hear,
no.
I want a lot of money.
Yeah, I want to. Well, I said, what are you going to do when you get when you finish with your education? I'm going to be rich.
That's all I think of is money.
Yeah.
And fame. And how much? What are the medical the benefits? What are the medical benefits and the retirement? There are so few people that want to contribute. There are so few people that care. And if we could get a nation that actually was willing to contribute, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. You know, it wouldn't be. People are so afraid they might have to work hard. But if we were all willing to contribute, how hard is it? It's not that hard to. If we all do something useful, instead what we've got is a small number of people doing something useful. So the burden is on them. You know, the farmers, the carpenters, the engineers, the ones that are really doing some work have a big burden on them. Meanwhile, I got this enormous horde of worthless government workers and worthless people in businesses doing nothing.
Yep.
And this is why it's so hard if you want to be a carpenter or a farmer. You got to work hard. You're out there by yourself hard. Almost nobody will help you. And
well,
so,
I mean, even those professions, Eric, you know, they're always figuring out ways of destroying quality for speed and ease, but what ends up suffering in almost every case is quality. And I mean, even the houses they're building today, these prefab boxes of junk. And then you take a look at the. I live in a house, Eric. Now, granted, it hasn't been upgraded in 40 or 50, more than that, 60 years even. But the walls are 3 feet thick, solid granite. I mean, this house has been up for 300 years. It'll be up 1,000 years from now. They don't build houses like that. They don't build houses like they did in the Northeast anymore. I mean, the houses where I grew up, Eric, were 200 years old and still standing. You think the houses in your neighborhood are going to be up 200 years from now?
There's no way.
No.
They were building the houses in my neighborhood. They were single-pane windows with aluminum. They had the aluminum frames, and heat would just go right in and out so quickly. There is no concern for quality. It's just money. How much profit can I make?
That's right.
And I think part of this is also a symptom of unhappy people. This is what Americans don't seem to want to face, is that they really are not a happy people. They're, and I think the symptoms are this craving for money, the cravings for fame. These are not normal. These are symptoms of people who are not enjoying their life. They're not happy with themselves. And they keep thinking, well, maybe if I could get rich, then I'd be so happy. Or if I could just become famous, then I'd be happy. The people need to look at themselves and be really serious about their life and ask themselves, what in the world are they trying to protect here? What are they gaining from this life of theirs? You know, they're not going to get any better with more money or more fame. They're making the situation worse.
Well, not only that, what lessons are they teaching their children and their children's children? And I got to say, you know, my son, one of my sons, was talking to me about, Dad, what I want to be. And I said, what do you be? Anything you want to be, but do the best job you can. He said, well, he tells me before he goes to the university, I want to be a policeman. I said, anything but that. However, we do need good people in the police departments of the country. But the fact is that what they're getting there is thugs, is basically what they're getting. I begged him to try something different. How about being an engineer, I said. He said, well, really? I said, yeah, you can be that. Well, he's an engineer now, Eric. He did it. He's, you know, he put the effort in. He worked his tail off. And, I mean, I look around him and I see his roommates, and they all want to be something that makes them rich quick. And I've tried to give them advice about not doing that. But This is the mindset today. This is what we've. This is the generation we've raised.
And also, you'll see this message is what's coming through on television, newspapers, magazines. It's always rich. If you're rich, you're happy. They're always showing it this way. As if you could just become like them, if you could just become rich like these Hollywood stars, then you'll be so happy. And wow. Look at the Oscars, the same thing. People fantasize about this, being rich and famous, and they think that being in front of a TV camera is going to be exciting, that people will love them.
Yeah, and you can become an actor that acts out homosexual cowboys and transvestites across America, and what's the other stuff that they promoted this year? I mean, depravity, disgust, sickness, illness, how crazy can you be, how sick can you be, how depressed can you be? Basically was the message of the year. Nothing strange about that because the people in charge only want that kind of message out. But it's all about being ill, being mentally ill, Eric. And
they're promoting it. They're promoting they're also promoting this feel sorry for me attitude. They don't promote an attitude of you can do things, if you can make the world better, you can be responsible for yourself. They never promote that. It's always feel sorry for the loser. You see, they don't want people to realize, you know, you can do something. You're not helpless. But they don't want that. They want you to stand around crying with your hand held out. Because those are the people easiest to control. You know, the people that don't realize they can actually do something.
Well, you know, on our website, we've been trying to put forward a lot of interesting and provocative information. Many of the people that spend any time at that website of ours is challenged to think outside the box because most of this information is not readily available. However, much of it has been out there, Eric, for a long time. You have to dig it out.
Well, that's the problem. Most of the big popular websites, they don't provide this type of information. They only provide a little teeny bit. This is what the other thing that fools people. Like if you listened last night on the Rents radio show, he had Brad Friedman on of the Brad blog and that Velvet Revolution website. And you see, these people fool the majority of people because they say a few truthful things. He was talking last night about the elections and how the elections are not honest. And he was saying how Bush was stealing the election. And see, this is truthful. But then they never mention, you know, Kerry's cheating also. And they never mention that the entire media is corrupt also. And that all the government is basically under control of the same Zionist group. So they give you a little bit of information. They might criticize Bush. They might criticize CNN or Fox News. But they don't give the whole story, and it's fooling people. And so if you want to find the truth, you got to realize most of these people out there are lying to you by giving you only a small portion of the true information.
Well, you know, interesting that we start out the top of our whole webpage with Benjamin Friedman. Ben Friedman was trying to spread truth back in the 50s and 60s. So the facts are that this information has been available, but I didn't know about it, Eric. I was a dupe by these people. I was going along with my life, not knowing the facts behind all this, because of course I was part of the race to the race to the finish. I mean, interesting what we talked about in the first little part here was it's always about the goal and never about the voyage, never about the journey. But I've come to realize that it's the journey that's more important than the destination here. And Ben Friedman, his information is powerful because he gives a first-person account, doesn't he, of just how late an hour our nation is really in. And there is so much that we've brought out in the last few months here that supports exactly his thesis, his contention. I mean, it's irrefutable at this point, I believe, Eric.
Well, yeah, actually, before I knew of him, I had looked into a little bit of World War I, World War II, and all. And you know, it's hard to look into this without realizing there's something funny here, that it looks as if World War I was just a setup to drive the Turks out of Palestine and get Israel established. But what Benjamin Friedman does is he basically says, you know, you're right. What you thought was correct. That is what was going on. So that's what he's really useful for. He's providing all the little details and saying you're correct. It's not just your imagination. It really was a setup. And so that's why I think it's important for people to look at that. It he provides some of the missing information and verifies it's not just an illusion. It really is.
And yesterday's piece that we did with James Dickey, I mean, look, he talked about the setup of South Africa and how it's almost a parallel type of organization as Israel. They're acting in the same apartheid racist ways with the Palestinians, and they're committing the same kinds of genocides that were committed in South Africa, and using the same kind of relationships and alliances that South Africa used. But the difference between them and South Africa is South Africa was called to the carpet for what they did, and Israel is still held up in the world as this suffering country, the poor Jews, when in fact it isn't the poor Jews, it's Zionists who have completely baffled and buffaloed the rest of the world into thinking that they're the victim and not the poor people they've displaced.
Right, and they keep producing a lot of anti-Semitic acts. I think they're behind almost all of these anti-Semitic acts. Because every time they do something like this, like spraying swastikas, nobody actually gets hurt. This is one of the characteristics of their fake attacks. They never really get hurt. But it gives them a lot of sympathy.
Yeah.
And you'll see the one, just like that news item on the site right now, where they just had it in Boston. You know, someone sprays some swastikas on a synagogue, and what does the rest of the community do? Oh, the poor Jews, the neo-Nazis are out again, and they rush over to help paint the swastikas, to give the building a free painting. I mean, this is ridiculous. Nobody even bothers to ask, who's doing this? Who's doing the swastikas? Then if you look at Theodor Herzl, when he created the Zionist movement, he's saying that this is, anti-Semitism is going to be their best friend, that this is how they can get their support. I mean, it's right there. These people basically have it all in front of your face if people would just look.
That's right. That's right. And you know, we talked a little bit, you and I, about this recent APEC meeting, this septic sewer of human, a collection of human beings. I shouldn't even call them human beings. That are in this conference right now, and they've got Bolton up there talking about how Iran is going to nuke everybody when they don't even have a nuclear weapon, and of course Americans bought that stupid stuff about Iraq hook, line, and sinker, and we know that was all fabricated, and yet they're so stupid they're going to buy it again, Eric. I can't imagine these morons selling this stuff again to the same public, but they're going to.
Well, yeah, the propaganda is coming out on all the newspapers, websites about this terrible Iran. See, the other thing is that just went out last night on the ABC News is that, it's probably on other news too, that Iran is providing those little explosive devices that keep blowing up the tanks and all. So they're saying Iran is manufacturing them and then shipping them quietly into Iraq.
Yeah, those are made in Israel. Come on.
Well, either that or they're made in Iran by the Israelis. But, yeah, if you look at the APEC meeting you were just talking about, I mean, look at a congressman, Robert Wexler. You got so many of these guys. So there's a lot of congressmen here. Congressman Bill Pascrell. You got Dick Cheney, Congressman Mark Kirk. You've got that David Horowitz, the editor of the Jerusalem Post. Congresswoman Jane Harman. Look through this list and ask yourself, why are all of these people speaking at this APEC policy conference?
Yeah, Shelley Berkeley, Roy Blunt,
and notice
Susan Collins, Arthur Davis, all of these senators and congressmen. We got Elliot Engel. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Pull your head out of that dark place and start smelling the coffee here. These people are selling us out. We're already sold out. We've been bought and paid for, Eric.
Yeah, but notice how many of them are Democrats. Did you see how many of these congressmen are Democrats that are at that APEC meeting? See, this is where people like Brad Friedman, Jeff Rantz, and all the others lie to people. They'll try to tell you it's Bush, it's those Republicans. Look at all the Democrats in this. Look at John Kerry. Look at Joe Lieberman. I mean, they don't realize this. They're being deceived. They're being duped by these so-called truth tellers. These people are lying. It's not just Bush. But see, from their point of view, if 9/11 gets exposed, it's better for them to find a couple people to sacrifice so that they can still remain in control. So if they have to, they'll take Bush down. If they have to, they'll even get rid of a CNN or Fox News executive. They don't care. It's better to sacrifice one or two people. And so if what people have to start realizing is when you find one of these people, like Brad Friedman, telling you, oh, Bush stole the election, you've got to realize, wait a minute, this is not just Bush. He's lying. And that, in turn, implies he is part of the criminal network. And these people are giving themselves away. All we have to do is collect their names, look into these people. We've got the network. This is how simple it could be if we could just get the people, the American people, to start realizing these are the criminals. That's why they're lying. They're not naive.
That's right.
They've been in this for years. It's not like, you know, an ordinary person, when he first gets into it, of course he'll think Bush did it. But these people are not naive. They've been doing this for years, and they're getting help, and they're getting a lot of information. You know, they claim to have all these secret sources. They should know more than the rest of us, not less.
That's right. That's right. And you know, this APEC, I mean, they've been caught by our intelligence services, spying on America hundreds of times, hundreds, along with the Jewish American Jewish Congress and the B'nai B'rith people over at JDL and ADL. I mean, these people are absolute scum of the earth, treasonous dogs, ladies and gentlemen, and no other way to describe these people. And yet, they're still operating unscathed in our nation. Nothing stopping them. I don't get it. I can't understand it. The American public needs to wake up. This is why it is so desperate that we begin to bring more people to these facts, Eric. We don't have a lot of time. And I mean, this, you know, now that everybody that listens to this program has passed the Black Pope crap and the rest of that nonsense, and we've got rid of the hologram theory baloney and Blimpy Dave and the rest of these morons, it's time for them to start wrapping their brain around the fact that we need to get more people listening to these facts.
Yeah, in fact, what you'll see now is, now that the hologram theory is gone, what they're doing right now is called the blue screen technology. You can see this if you go to where it says learn from the mistakes of Jimmy Walter. They are pushing the blue screen technology now, which means that what they're trying to say is that the airplanes that crashed into the World Trade Center towers were edited into the video by the television news crews. And somehow those same television news crews also edited in airplanes into everybody's still photographs. So they're still trying to do this, and they're still catching people. But what the people have to do is take a look at people like Jimmy Walter, who is very trusting, and look at how he's being screwed over and over. And look at who they promote. It's the same people again.
Personally, Eric, you have more faith in him than I do. I think he's a shitbird, okay? I really do. I think he's just a plain piece of shit, okay? Excuse my expression. But this guy has done absolutely nothing to forward this stuff. He's been a failure at everything he's tried, Eric.
Well, if you look at who's taken, they're taking advantage of him and a lot of other people. And they're promoting, you'll see they're promoting the Jim Hoffmans, the Webster Tarpleys. These people, once you start realizing that these people are part of the group, you've got to take a look at all of their friends and all of the people who promote them and put them all on that same list and stay away from them. Don't give them any support at all. In fact, they need to be on the list of people to investigate.
I think they should be on the list of people to be arrested immediately, held for trial, and when they're convicted of treason, they should be lined up and shot, Eric.
Well, yeah, you could think of it that way, too. Them and the APEC people and all of it. Because they're giving themselves away. It's not easy to cover up a crime without exposing yourself, and that's what they're doing. They're exposing themselves. If the people in this country would just realize this, they're not simply naive. They're lying.
Yep.
And every one of their friends, you can start tracing them. You'll see that they connect to one another. They promote one another. The deception dollar. Look at those websites on there sometime and ask yourself, how much real information are you getting from that? And who are these people? And look at who they promote. It's the same people again. The Tarpleys, the Wayne Madsens. You know, it's the same group being promoted over and over and over. It's a big network, and we could easily collect all of their names, and every one of them should be considered suspects.
Well, you know, the bottom line is that these people's agenda is not being damaged terribly by us. We have made some inroads, but still, by and large, we're kind of a fly that flies around their head, and they're trying to swat us. But we need to be a swarm here. We need 20,000, 30,000 people, Eric. And this can't be done by us alone. We're not getting any help. We are out there on our own. Of course, there are a few people who believe in the truth and want to help us get the facts out, disseminate. But this has got to be done grassroots, guys. That's why we ask for tiny donations. That's why we ask you to post on message boards and on all of these forums and stuff. And I mean, just pound the airwaves with our stuff, man.
Well, that's how they do it. See, that's how the opposition does it. It's constant repetition, and they promote one another. They help each other, and you'll see it in the movies, in the newspapers, the magazines. It's constant repetition, every direction, and even they're doing it now, apparently, in the music. You know, according to one of the listeners of this, your French Connection, you know, he's pointing out that this rap singer, this Zionist rap singer now is even coming out, putting out Zionism in the rap music. It's in each of these little things by themselves is small. You know, this is what people have to remember. They're always thinking, well, I can't do much because I'm just one person. But each person by himself, sure, each person does little, very little, but you add it together, it becomes significant. See, it's like 9/11. Why do most people think 19 Arabs did this? It's because of all their little lies that just went out constantly, day after day after day, in newspapers, magazines, internet. It's this constant bombardment with propaganda that has fooled people. And the only way to fight it is to give constant bombardment of the truth.
Well, you know, I'm going to recommend that everybody go to the website and take down those names of congressmen and senators who were at this meeting, and especially the speakers, and call them and say, we know you were at AIPAC, we know they're criminal, and we're aware of what you've done. We're aware of it, and we're going to take action against you in your election cycle, and everyone in the country is going to know the criminals that you are dealing with and aiding. And I think everybody should do that and make a phone call. Don't be threatening at all. Just say that we are aware what you've done and the fact that you're kowtowing to this Israeli Zionist lobby and that you're going to be held accountable for your actions. And I think if we start moving, putting pressure on them to say that we know that you're a criminal, part of this criminal cabal, I think people are going to start running for cover.
Yeah, if there were enough Americans willing to stand up to these people, there would. And see, if there was enough Americans willing to stand up, then some of the other government officials or military people that do want to be, honest, they might have the strength, the courage to come forward then. See, it's like this report, we don't know if it's true or not, but like that former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl is supposedly making this remark about the Holocaust being a myth. I mean, we don't know if it's true, but there may be a lot of government officials willing to say things if they just realized there was enough support from the people.
Well, that's why, I mean, the bringing people to this show and these facts, I've said before, Eric, the best way to do that is to speak to people who are not resistant to the facts. I mean, you know, if you ask several people, you'll find one of them who wants to hear more. That's the person if you're going to get somebody say, oh, I don't want to hear about that, then move away. Don't force anybody, because forcing somebody to look at facts is never the way to get them to do it. It's a Socratic method, and you're very good at producing Socratic evidence, Eric. How do you suggest that they talk to these people?
Well, it's always a hard way to suggest it, because it depends on how well they know them and all. But people you know extremely well, like your own relatives and friends, you can just kind of rub it in their face, because they're not going to walk away from you as easily as a stranger would. You know, strangers you have to be different with in some cases, but with your own family and relative, you can just be blunt with them and say, look at this. Take a look. Have you seen it yet? Have you listened to Ben Friedman yet? And you could just tell them, why don't you grow up already? I mean, you can really put pressure on people that you know well, and then the ones you don't know well, you have to be a little different usually with. You have to
I'm saying, but my point is that when you come up against somebody who's resistant, don't bother arguing with them. Go to the next person who is receptive, because you will, if you continue to speak with people, you'll find receptive people around you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and how you treat them, though, of course, it's hard to give advice, but, you know, with some people, you do it in a different manner. You say, have you seen this? What do you think of it? You know, can you help me understand it? Or you have to get them involved to want to look. You have to somehow make it interesting for them, rather than telling them, oh, you're an idiot, haven't you heard of this yet? You have to do it from the other point of view, like, well, could you help me understand this? Here's this interesting news report over here at IamTheWitness.com.
Well, can I tell you, I mean, when I was talking to Morgan Reynolds privately, I asked him, had he heard Ben Friedman? And he said, well, no, I haven't. And I said, well, you really got to hear that. Will you listen to it for me, Morgan? He said, yeah, I will. Well, 2 or 3 weeks later, I called him back. I said, did you listen to that? He said, no, I never got to it. I said, please, Morgan, please listen to that. He goes, yeah, but I'm doing all this other, I have so many things. And he was giving me lectures. I said, please, I've never asked you for a favor, Morgan. Please listen to this thing and you know, listen to what Benjamin Friedman says. 3 days later, I called him back after begging him, and he listened to it, and he was floored, Eric. This thing knocked him for a loop, and I said, this is why I wanted you to hear this. He said, I was shocked by what this man said, and he said it wasn't so much that he told me anything that I couldn't believe, it was that he gave a first-person account that was, you know, back in 1961. He said it was believable in the extreme what he was trying to put forward.
Yeah, that's one good way. What I did for one woman is I just burned that Friedman speech to a CD and said, just listen to it. After I got, you know, I was arguing with her for a long time, and I just said, here, will you just listen to this? And she took it home and listened to it, and that changed her. It's difficult to get people sometimes to go to a website. Sometimes what you have to do is actually burn a CD-ROM and say, here, just play it in your car next time you're driving. Or you give them a DVD or a book, or that's the other thing people are doing. You know, you just give it to them. Tell them, will you watch it? You can borrow it from me. Just give it back when you're done. And it's tough sometimes to get people to go to a website because not many people want to. And then when they get back home, who feels like it? Who feels like getting on a website? So sometimes that's the best thing to do. Burn some of this or print a couple pages out and say, here, take a look at this. You know, there's a couple articles. You can just print it, hand them the piece of paper.
Well, you know, this is a big battle we're fighting, and it really requires the help of our listeners. We've got a decent audience here, Eric. We've built them up over time, and they're dedicated to helping us to fight this fight. And all I can tell you, each and every one of you, is thank you for that. I mean, I'm not doing it for free. I mean, I don't get paid for this, but I'm doing it for results. I'm not doing it because I don't want to beat these people. I want to win. And for me, winning is just informing. That's the winning I'm talking about, because the country is in a basket case, and I don't think anything short of a lot of pain is going to fix it. But the truth is that we need to get this truth out so that when decisions are being made of how to go forward after things get even worse, you're going to have suggestions in your community because you've got the facts as they're truthfully being presented here on the French Connection. This is the big goal here, and, you know, 10,000 people is not enough. We need 20, 30,000. So your job is to bring one person a week to these facts. Now, if you can please acquiesce to that simple request, I know it's difficult, but it would make a huge difference in the amount of effort that we're making and how kind of results that we're getting, wouldn't it, Eric?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We almost need to come up with, like they do, like some sort of advertising slogan or something, you know, because, you know, you were mentioning South Africa and the Zionist connection. This whole advertising campaign of diamonds are a girl's best friend, this was total manipulation to create this craving for diamonds. I mean, if you go back in history a couple hundred years ago, diamonds were not a girl's best friend. This is just some stupid advertising slogan that they've got practically the entire female population of the world convinced of. And maybe if we could come up with this, you know, look at how they do it. Look at how they manipulate people. Maybe we need some slogan like that, like the truth is a girl's best friend or something like that. People need to realize they're being manipulated by these people. And maybe what we can do is, you know, learn from them and do the same sort of things. Come up with some sort of slogan, maybe.
Well, you know, Eric, I will take suggestions. Eric, your website is painfulquestions.com.
Huge questions.
I'm sorry. .com. And your painful questions at AOL.com is your email.
Right.
I got that backwards. And I'm of course I am the witness at hotmail.com for suggestions. But go to the website, guys. Listen to this. Pass it on. Put it on CD. Send your friends. And if you're that busy, if you're 50, 60 hours a week and you want to help us, send us a couple of bucks, and we'll put it to use. I mean, this is a grassroots deal here, guys. We have made some huge inroads. We are making a difference. In fact, if you put I Am the Witness into the Google search engine, it gets 11,000 or 12,000 hits, doesn't it, Eric?
Yeah, depending on what day you pick.
But 12,000, I mean, you know, the message boards out there, the forums, the chat rooms, if we get a buzz out there, go to a chat room or a forum and post an article we put up and leave. Don't even stay to go for the food fight. If you have to register as an anonymous person and put up something we've done. Put it on Liberty Forum or on one of these chat rooms or on any of these different places that you can post things, and don't stick around, leave. But what'll happen is people will become familiarized with what we're trying to do here, and this is the kind of habituation, the kind of repetitive habituation that's going to make a difference. People won't feel like the information is foreign to them. It'll begin to sink in. And these are the kinds of small efforts you can make. And again, bring one person a week, if you can, to these broadcasts. These are the kinds of things, I believe, that are going to put us over the top and be able to defeat these people. Or at the very minimum, when we are redesigning the America that we really deserve, we have these facts and that we have the truth on our side. And I think that's going to make a difference. You want to add anything to that, Eric?
No, I'd agree. It's like you say, it's the repetition that will help. You can't just do it once. It's got to be over and over, just like they do. Watch the TV advertisements and look at how they've manipulated people. And we got to do the same thing. We got to fight back, except it's easier for us because we've got the truth on our side. It's not like them trying to maintain a lie. So it's actually easier for us. So keep it up. Just keep telling your friends, telling your relatives, print out some pages, burn a few CDs, hand them a couple DVDs, and just keep spreading it out, because we could possibly turn this world around if we get enough people.
I think so. And you know, the last thing I want to bring up is that there is a conference going on in Iran starting, and it's on the 7th. It starts examining with historians the facts around the Holocaust. Now, I, at the French Connection here, have not done any research on it intentionally, and I explained that yesterday. However, I do want you all to start paying attention to what's happening with that, and we're probably going to have a visitor that's going to talk about it when they return from these proceedings. Again, I don't know the facts around this, and I've intentionally avoided them because I don't want to be placing my efforts out there and from a jail cell. It won't help me to get the rest of the facts out if I'm sitting behind bars somewhere trying to scrape money together to get a lawyer. But I can be more effective sitting here in front of my computer and doing these efforts with you guys at this moment. But it's a fight that needs to be fought. It's information that needs to be examined, and I recommend everybody to do that.
And actually, on the site right now, if you go to I Am the Witness, it'll give you a couple of news articles that are really good to quote. So when people accuse you of anything, just bring out these news articles. There's one from the Washington Post right now. At this Holocaust conference in Iran are going to be some rabbis. And one of them, this Cohen, says he doesn't find it offensive at all. He says if people want to debate the details of the Holocaust, they're welcome to. He says he was not bothered by the plan to hold the conference, and he says there's nothing wrong with asking, you know, how could Germany have killed 6 million Jews before and during World War II? Take a look at these news reports, print them out. They're just going to be a page or two, and show people this stuff. Tell them there are rabbis complaining about these Zionists. It's not just these so-called anti-Semites.
Yeah.
And this one rabbi, he's saying the root cause of the problem in the Middle East is the Zionists. Yeah. I mean, you could quote this Rabbi Cohen character. You know, don't be intimidated by people. You know, bring up this evidence. There is so much evidence to back this up. And if you don't know much about it, you can say to people, well, I don't know much about it, but take a look at what's here. And you can help us look into it. You could ask them, well, why don't you look into it and help us understand this?
Well, Eric, you know, it's been great to have you on the show again, as usual. Your efforts are appreciated by me. I gotta be honest with you, and I know everybody out there listening appreciates your efforts as well. I'll be inviting you back next week for another touch bases with you, and we'll discuss some other things. But I want to thank everybody for tuning into the French Connection today, and I promise you that I'll find a guest for tomorrow that will forward this story down the field. We're going for the touchdown, ladies and gentlemen, not just the extra points. And until that next broadcast, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This is Daryl Bradford Smith saying, have a great day.